mama doesn't know she's leaving. Did she hear the screamer slamming, rubber squealing, gears are jamming? Local country station gets a blaring on a radio. Pick him up at 7, then they're heading to the rodeo. Mama's on the front porch screaming out her warning. Girl, you better get your red head back in bed before the morning.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 a.m. Now, here is your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs gold winner.
Ain't going down till the sun comes out. Ain't giving in till they get enough. Go around the world in a pickup truck.
Well, welcome, friends and radio listeners. I am Jay Garvin's. You've tuned in to the Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, and I've got a great candid conversation with you today. Over the last 15 years, I've been at this microphone saying the same thing. You can get a hold of me at 719-330-1457. I hope that I'm here at the microphone 5 years from now, but the likelihood is a year-by-year renewal with my candid conversation with you. So I encourage you to call me at 719-330-1457. I am not announcing my retirement, but with the mortgage industry, with the real estate industry, and everything going on, I'm turning the big 6-0 next year. I know I sound like I'm in my early 30s, but the microphone is deceiving.
That's the fact, Jack!
And I have the perfect face for radio. So, today, I'm starting a group of candid conversations that are cult classic radio shows concerning real estate and home mortgage. And today, with the drum roll, Matt, I'm going to talk about the major differences of house fixing versus house flipping. And I'm going to break this down into several conversations at the macro level, the big comparisons between just buying a house, fixing it up, and then selling it back on the market, which has incredibly positive attributes of revitalizing the houses in our community, improving the status of them, and then putting them back out onto the market for new first-time home buyers, move-up buyers, or even downsizing buyers and investment property purchase buyers. And that's going to be compared directly to what I call house fixing, the difference between owning a home short-term with house flipping and house fixing, which is a buy-and-hold strategy. Now, you can have a buy-and-hold strategy as an investment property, which I will share with you in a specific example of mine, a house that I purchased in 2015, and I just finished a what I call a major improvement, financial and structural fix-up of this house, but I've held it over the last 11 years and will continue to do that over the next 5 to 12 years moving forward. This house has been an investment property. It originally got me like $1,300 a month in rent. Now it's just been re-signed with a 2-year lease for $2,400 a month with a mid-rental contract increase of $75, ending at about $2,475. Or this could apply just as much to the house that you've lived in. We've had a lot of house fixing over the last 4 years by default. And I say default because with interest rates getting higher from 2021 to 2026, house affordability, because of interest rates, listing price, insurance costs, property tax increases, and maintenance increases, have resulted in families fixing up the house that they live in rather than buying the next one to move up or the next one to move down or the final one to retire and get out of the real estate market altogether. So I'm going to explain the difference between house fixing and house flipping and then explain to you the positives and negatives of, say, for example, a house flip. I'm going to talk about the cash that you get immediately, but the capital gains tax that you have to pay from that, the limited stress of only owning that home for 3 months to 6 months and then sending it back onto the market, as opposed to the capture of the depreciation that you get by owning that home long-term, and explaining that. And then I'm going to go back, like I stated, to the personal example of where I've flipped homes in the past. In 2004, 2007, I did a lot of home flips, put them back onto the market. And then after the Great Recession since 2011 and 12, I shifted my personal approach, and I've helped shift a lot of the approaches of my buyers as a licensed loan originator to fix and carry or hold these houses. Because there is a multidimensional strategy here. For me personally and a lot of my borrowers, they have got into owning three or more homes. Investment property ownership and the advantages that come with that has been a default. But there's been one sliver of my clientele that has done this because they have adult children who are now finishing their degrees, starting in their careers. And like any family, if you want to draw your adult children back to the communities that you're currently living in rather than migrating to the communities that they moved to, my wife and I personally and more than 30 to 40 of my clients have several small investment properties that, as my wife would say, I want to entice my adult children to move back to Colorado Springs because we have a quote-unquote affordable home that we can share with them with a instant gift of equity as opposed to them moving to New York or Missouri or to Indiana where we can visit them and wish them well, but we're not going to give them any advantage of buying in those markets other than possibly a small nominal gift towards their down payment. But to have the incentive for people to live around you in the Pikes Peak region is in and of itself a strategy for all of you listening right now that have adult children or adult grandchildren that you would love to see raise the next generation of your family name in our backyard. Now, without any question, with or without this conversation, it is absolutely in my belief, and statistics prove it, that it's the best time in the Pikes Peak region, absolutely in Colorado, to buy a house since 2017, in 9 years. And the reason that that is a fact is because inventory is higher than ever right now in the Pikes Peak region. We're getting above 4,000 homes in the market, and in a capitalistic market, when you have more choices, you actually have more leverage in the negotiation and the price range that you're making an offer and you're willing to buy in. Also, as I've talked to Bill McAfee in the past, as I'm going to talk to again with Bill McAfee next week in great detail, for the first time in over 8 years, there is a considerable amount of seller proceeds that are coming from the seller of the house as concessions going to the buyer of the house to offset your higher interest rate and buy that down with a discount point, divert the closing costs that you would normally pay and have the seller pay some of those so you can put more money down to accomplish the overall goal of making that home purchase more affordable for you or your family member. And then finally, with purchase prices being softer than they have been since 2017, you get instant equity in the house, and there's all three of those positives. I am going to compare those three facts, more choices with inventory, more seller concessions for offsetting your costs, and instant equity by having a lower purchase contract price here today. So don't go anywhere. We're going to have this conversation about house fixing versus house flipping right here on the Jay Garvin Show. Call me during the break at 719-330-1457. Churchill Mortgage, Ken Smith, and I are preferred lenders by Ramsey Solutions. So call to sit down for your next buyer consultation, 719-330-1457. You're listening to the Jay Garvin Show.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin.
This segment brought to you by Texas Roadhouse. Legendary food, legendary service, located on 8th Street next to Walmart.
Hey, where's the meat?
What I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay, host of the Home and Mortgage Talk Show, and today I'm going into detail about what is the difference between house flipping versus house fixing. And some of the largest things I wanted to cover with you is the fact that there are positive attributes to actually buying a home as an investor and fixing it up, putting it right back into the inventory of homes and allowing individuals to take advantage of a existing home in an existing neighborhood, what we refer to as an infill neighborhood, having brand new paint, brand new carpet, brand new furnace or HVAC or roof or whatever it is. And for buying a house, it's the best time to do this. In 2021, you were buying a house that needed a new roof, needed a new front porch, needed a new furnace, and you were glad to just get it at asking price or $10,000 to $20,000 over asking price. And then you had to take a deep breath and discover through gifts, savings, or credit card how you were going to fix up that house and make it livable. Fast forward 5 years in 2026, as I'm going to talk throughout the month, for buyers out there, if you're listening right now, and statistically 85% of us, myself included at the microphone and you living, are already homeowners. But all of you listening have made an incredible difference in referring your adult children, your adult grandchildren, friends, neighbors, relatives, coworkers, whether you have VA eligibility, whether you're a first-time home buyer, whether you're just someone trying to buy a house for the first time in your life because you've got a estate settlement from a late family member who passed. Whatever the case is, remember to talk to your friends, neighbors, relatives, and adult children and grandchildren, because the theme this entire year has been, this is the best time to buy. As Warren Buffett, I say repeatedly, would state that when others are fearful, be greedy. And when others are greedy, be fearful. This is why in 2021, I told you, hey, it looks like it's a great time to buy in this market. But with prices $30,000, $40,000 elevated over even asking price, this may be the peak of the market before we soften. Bill McAfee from Empire Title and I were at this microphone when inventory was less than 8 days. You know, we'd have 700 homes on the market totally, and all that inventory was sold within a week. And if more houses didn't come on the market, there would be nothing to purchase. We said right here, plain as day, at this microphone in this room 5 years ago, that there will become a time when inventory exceeds 2,000 homes on the market, 3,000 homes on the market, and we predict even 4,000 homes on the market. And sure enough, as I speak with you, we have more than 4,000 homes on the market. As I'll talk in weeks to come, we have more seller concessions that are coming than I've ever experienced as a licensed loan originator since 1998. It was always commonplace to get $1,000 to $3,000, maybe $4,000 of seller proceeds. But right now, the average proceeds on over 63% of all transactions is $10,000 from seller in their appraised and contract price home. Of their proceeds, they're giving you concessions of $10,000. This has happened more than four times in the last 4 weeks with me just in purchase transactions. But how does that affect house flipping versus house fixing? Well, first of all, inventory. If you're buying a house and you come in contact with a house flipper, someone buying the house, short-term financing, fixing it up, and then putting it back on the market for you, the first financial gain you are going to receive is a house that's completely fixed up. Most people won't even look at a house that doesn't have fresh paint, brand new carpet, updated furnace, air conditioner, serviced roof, and everything. As a matter of fact, it's such an aggressive buyer's market right now. Most sellers are getting an inspection ahead of time, engineering reports ahead of time, with seller proceeds or seller concessions ready to give to the buyer right away. This is especially the case with new home builders. That's very, very positive, where you can get $20,000 to $100,000 from the builder to buy that house. A builder build is a flip. They buy the land, they build the house, they sell it as fast as possible, and they've got to give buyers an incentive to do that. If that's in the middle of town, which we call an infill development, and you can find a builder who will give you proceeds, that's a great deal because the houses around you already have a great record of equity or value already built into them, and endless new houses and neighbors are not going to be placed around you. If you're talking to a builder, or you yourself are purchasing on the edge of our metropolitan area out in Banning Lewis Ranch or whatever the extension is to the north or to the south in Security Widefield, you have to be more cautious whether it's a new build or a new flip that you're buying, because if you think that you're getting a deal in seller concessions, you have to be aware what is going to be built in the next phase of that development or the next field behind you, because if interest rates stay stubbornly high, they can lower their cost of the home in the next phase and give you perpetually a stagnant value on that house of $400,000 for the next 4 years, and you will not see appreciation. Now, some of those discussions get complex, but let's just look at the fix and flip. If you are buying a house, getting it at a great price, which is totally possible right now, and fixing that house up and selling it, there basically is two facts that you're going to need to base all of your decisions on. Number one fact is you make your money as an investor when you buy the house and not when you sell it. So if you can get the house at an extremely low price through a foreclosure, a short sale, or some distressed sale, you can put $20,000, $40,000 into it, sell it, and then there's $20,000 to $40,000 of equity profit for you. That's number one. You make your money when you buy the house and not when you sell it. The second mandate for someone who fixes and flips a house is your time off the market. If you can fix and flip and get that house back on the market within the 30 or 60 days, you're going to be set up for a profitable experience and a great buyer experience for the individual moving in. If you buy that and your time frame off the market is 6 months or a year, unless you're doing it with cash, the amount of interest and expenses of holding that house is going to deteriorate any potential profit that you might have expected. Now, on the other hand, if you buy the house to hold it long-term in house fixing rather than house flipping, this is what you have. A great example of this is Caleb, a good friend of mine, good friends with his family, only 22 years old, buying a house, and he is buying the home, keeping it long-term, which means 2 to 5 years, fixing it up along the way for the benefits in the long run. He's getting a condo right in School District 12 in 80906, for a great price, the most affordable price range in that entire desirable southwest part of town and in a desirable school district, School District 12 Cheyenne School District, where he'll get a roommate, he'll save money, do some maintenance and improvement on that home, wait until interest rates settle, inflation settles, keep that house for 2 or 5 years where he doesn't have any capital gains at all, because if you've lived in a house in 2 of the last 5 years, then you don't have any tax at all on your profit, up to $250,000 for an individual, $500,000 for a couple. And then Caleb will be able to make minor improvements. Once the interest rates come down, the volume of buyers will increase, and that balances out the supply and demand, which right now is on the heavy supply side. When interest rates come down and incomes go up over the next 24 months, that'll become high on the demand portion of the supply and demand. He'll be able to take his $40,000 down payment that he made, plus an increased equity of $20,000 to $30,000, take all of that money, tax-free, put it as a down payment on that, and not a condominium or a townhome, but a single-family home. And then when most people are still renting at 26 and 27 years old, he will have made his second purchase already and have no mortgage insurance with great equity in the house. And that's a two-step process of house fixing and holding rather than fix and flipping, to where you might get 20 to 30 grand if you're lucky with the short term focus on fixing the house and getting it back onto the market. In both cases, you've got $20,000 to $30,000 that you've made. If you live in the house after 2+ years of living in the house, once you sell it, that's tax exempt earnings. But if you fix a house and sell it immediately within that first 24 months, you're going to pay capital gains on that, which is not a bad thing. It's income earned and you should have it taxed. But if you take 25% tax bracket on $20,000, you're going to get $5,000 of that to Uncle Sam, and talk about a silent investor. They're taking 25% of your profits for existing. That's a negative side. The positive side on a fix and flip is that you don't have the headache after you've sold it, and you have the maintenance and the stress and the responsibility if you buy and hold. Either way, fixing houses up right now are the trend because of the cost of financing and the cost of maintaining a home with property tax and insurance. But there's positives and negatives to both sides. So I'm going to continue the conversation after this break, going into a specific example of how it looked like in comparison when I did a house flip and sale as opposed to a house fix and hold after the break. Call me at 719-330-1457. I would love to help you with your next purchase or refinance transaction, and especially those that are going into a purchase, I can get you a certified Churchill approval with a $10,000 seller guarantee. For you or your friend, relative, neighbor, adult, grandchild that can take advantage of this. 719-330-1457. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to be back after these important messages right here on the Jay Garvin Show.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm going to do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime.
The Jay Garvin, Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 a.m. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin.
This segment is sponsored by Best Realty and Mark Salas.
Housekeeping?
A smoke up in the sky. But then soon we learn to fly. Let me hear you now. I don't know where I'm gonna go when the bomb.
Housekeeping.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay. I'm your friend, and I am in the middle. Housekeeping of the details of the program of house fixing versus house flipping right here on the Jay Garvin Show. And a specific example I wanted to share with you is I'm holding a folder here called Pleasant Street. Is regular radio listeners, you know this. I have six properties here locally. Four of them are long-term rentals. One is a second home and short-term rental in my primary residence and short-term rental. But Pleasant Street is one that I purchased in 2015, actually from Diana Doyle, a great real estate agent, great friend. She and her husband for my wife and I, and still appreciate her to this day. Over in Pleasant Valley, wonderful part of town by Garden of the Gods, just on the outskirts of old Colorado City, not quite to Manitou yet, but a gorgeous neighborhood with a straight view of the Kissing Camels there off of 31st Street. And I purchased that home for $181,000. Not only was that a great price then, a three-bedroom, one-bath, 1,400 square foot home on a postage stamp lot of a house built in 1954. But back in 2015, that was a very wet year. 2015 and 16 were damp and, you know, oversaturated, rainy summers, and there was standing water in the crawl space and everything. Won't go into the details. I bought that where the retail price for that house would have been like $192, $194. I got it for like $182, as is. Professor owned an investment property, didn't take the best care of it. Sometimes that's the best type of house to buy. Owen, who's a 20-year-old buyer that I just helped this year, did it on Kiowa Street for another home that can appraise as high as $400,000, and he just bought it for $324,000, but a lot of fix-up needs to be done. I bought it as a buy and hold. Owen did the same. I've got 100 examples. Those are the two that I give. But back in 2004, I was flipping homes, buying them, fixing them up as fast as possible with my wife and Marty, a very good friend of mine, a friend of 20-plus years. He's the one that actually did all of the improvements, minus 10% of the painting and the carpet, on Pleasant Street, which I'll go into the details. And he and I and his wife, Donna, and Marlo and I would buy houses. Marlo would do all the financing and the down payment. I would do all of the mortgage, the lending. Donna would find the homes as the agent, and then Marty would be the head of contracting and get her done. Even though all of us, you know, fixed landscaping and painted walls, he was in charge of the fix-up. Now, we bought the Calistoga homes, actually three of them, for $102,500 apiece. But we didn't have 10 to 12 years to fix it up like I have with Pleasant. We literally had 60 to 90 days. So we would buy this first house in Calistoga, two-bedroom, one-bath, 960-square-foot house. We found out a unique thing that we could do and turn this basic one-and-a-half-bathroom home into a two. There was a full bathroom, two bedrooms. One of them had a half bath in the master, just a vanity and a sink. And we're like, we should somehow figure out how to add a bathtub and some wiggle room in there. So we did that, and we put about $10,000 into that home to add a quick bathtub, fresh paint, fresh carpet, fresh landscaping, and back on the market. Made over $25,000, and at $132,000 that we sold, we spent like $7,000 of that to take care of the costs and the real estate fees and everything. We made $20,000 gross, about $10,000 per couple. And we were in and through those houses in less than 90 days. We made the profit on the house when we bought it, not when we sold it. We got it at a really great price. We bought them in a group of three, and it worked it bing, bang, boom. Then we had a short amount of time on the market, which is the second factual determining factor of making a property with house flips. You make your money when you buy the house, not when you sell it, and it's the time of that you own the house before you get it back on the market, which makes or breaks your profitability. We each made $10,000. We had capital gains with that. We had no long-term obligation in that. We could not take advantage of the annual depreciation tax write-off, but we didn't have the headache of maintaining, paying insurance, property taxes, and so forth. Now, on Pleasant Street that I just fixed up, I did a substantial fix, more than $35,000, which if you look at the original purchase of the house, that literally was more than 20% that I put into the house. Bought it for $181,000. This time I put $35,000 into the house. But that's not the only time I put money into the house. When I bought it, before I put in a tenant, I spent about $15,000 or about 10% on the house right away. Fixed the flooding in the crawl space by changing the elevation outside and drawing water away from the house rather than into the house. Took away a cracked and settling patio, driveway, and front porch for $7,000 and replaced all of those. Put fresh paint on the inside, painted the kitchen on the inside, put in some new appliances on the inside, spent a total of $15,000 and got a renter in there for about $1,300 a month. Two tenants later, when they moved out, I said, Marty, I want to go ahead and convert one of the master bedroom walk-in closets. There's two small walk-in closets. Move a living room wall about 30 inches, 3 feet, and turn one of those closets into a three-quarter bath, and took it from a three-bedroom, one-bath house to a three-bedroom, one and three-quarters, basically three-bedroom, one-bath to three-bedroom, two-bath, and spent another $14,000 with that. And now the third time, had this last tenant in there for 5 years, a wonderful couple who I helped, Tara and Alec, buy a house. They got a great deal when they moved out, earnest money back, didn't make them do a quick sweep of the house and fix everything. I said, I'm going to renovate it. You guys have been amazing tenants. Helped them buy a house, which they chose me to be their lender, which I gratefully appreciate. But also over 5 years, they gave me average of $2,000 a month over 120 months. They gave me $2,000 a month over 60 months, over $120,000 during that time frame. But after they left, this last time, I've got the list of things in front of me. The most significant thing I did is bought all new Pella windows from Pella Windows and Dave Fleming, who's a partner on this show. Did that very affordably and paid my contractor, Marty, as an example of my partner in our fix and flips back in the early 2000s. Put all those new windows in, got a new flat roof so there wasn't any leaking. Redid the whole family room, redid the ceiling, got rid of all of the popcorn, got all new paint, all new carpet, then got all new fixtures, fixed the doors, painted the exterior, replaced things like parts in the dishwasher, garbage disposal, all of those things, did major upgrades with the furnace, put in an all new air conditioner, and now I have new tenants in it. The end of that story is that dollar for dollar, I got the exact dollar amount, 100%, more than $35,000 to $40,000 in increased value through air conditioning and windows in that house moving forward. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to tell you exactly what that house on Pleasant Street is worth today through the three improvements and the 11 years that I've had it. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show, back for the last segment in the conversation about house fixing versus house flipping, right here on The Jay Garvin Show.
Let me say now, I don't know.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back. Here's Jay Garvin.
We want to pump you up.
You can count on me.
You see the friends I should be. Won't no one put you down.
When I'm around.
My conversation today, Home and Mortgage Talk, on house fixing versus house flipping. So in the last 9 minutes here, I want to tell you that my situation of buying and holding, house fixing rather than house flipping, has been a very fortunate, miraculous blessing over the last 15 years. I've helped more than 600 people do the same thing, of buy a house and hold it over the last decade. And my wife and I have done it 6 separate times. And 5 of those houses have been right here in Colorado. And 1 has been in Tennessee at one point. We had 2 in Tennessee, but I digress in sharing with you that if you hit the market well, you can buy a house in a growing and thriving community and have it appreciate. I honestly believe if you buy any house right now in Colorado Springs west of I-25 for a house under 2,000 square feet, you're going to buy that house at about $200 to $300 a square foot. I truly believe in the next 15 years before 2040, that house is going to be at $400 to $500 a square foot, which means if you own a 1,000 square foot right now house that you bought for $200 to $250 a square foot, between $250,000 right now, that is going to be a $400,000 to $450,000 house. If you have a 2,000 square foot house right now, that's worth somewhere between $400,000 and $600,000, Alec and Terry, your examples of this, in Lower Skyway, that is going to be a $900,000 to $1 million house. Now, that's not going to be the same as the corner of Shelton and Academy. It certainly is not going to be the same on Banning Lewis Ranch off of Mark Shuffle. That's like owning land in Kansas. It's like owning land in Wisconsin. You can just continue to grow. Pikes Peak region is unique is because if you're west of I-25, you have lakefront property.
Say what?
You say what, Jay? The hell do you mean we got lakefront property? So you buy a house on any lake. If you buy a house in Milwaukee off of Lake Michigan in Whitefish Bay, you can't build and develop into the lake. Therefore, the most desirable property right off the lake is going to be very expensive. You cannot build into the Pike National Forest. You can't build into Cheyenne State Park. You can't build up and through and over Cheyenne Mountain, and so on and so forth. So any property there is already developed, so it's not going to be more congested. It's going to become more desirable. And if you have any question as to what the square footage of that property is going to be, just take a gander and a tour of Golden or Boulder. The same thing applies. Fort Collins, same thing applies. You cannot build up into Horsetooth. So a fact is a fact is a fact. 4 out of the 5 houses we own in El Paso County are west of I-25. They're the ones that are appreciating the fastest. With my example that I gave you at Pleasant, I purchased that home for $181,000. There's no doubt at all. I've put $70,000, $60,000 into that house now, $65,000. But tomorrow, even in a soft real estate market where there's 4,000 homes on the market, I could sell that house for $465,000 in 12 hours. That means that I've had a $285,000, that means on a $181,000 house, $465,000, after I've put my $60,000 into that house, I've had more than $140,000 in real income in that house. But once interest rates go down in 2027 and 2028, might happen as early as Halloween or Thanksgiving of this year, that house is worth $500 to $525 all day long. And the fact of the matter is, and let me restate that, if you take a $230,000 house with my $180,000 plus all the improvements, there's $235,000 in that in equity, not $180,000. But you get my point, is that every single dollar of money that I have spent on this house is money in the bank. One of the biggest reasons while I was improving this house to just get new windows in it, and I did that for safety because Alec and Tara had a baby boy back, and I said, hey, are those windows safe enough to get people in and out in case there's an emergency? And the fact of the matter is there wasn't. I played that risk for a while, and I said, no longer. I'm going to put brand new windows in there aesthetically. It allowed me to support Pella Windows, which I love. It allowed to give a separation factor in the neighborhood where all the other neighbors had white vinyl windows and we had custom black windows with grills in them like a 1930 or 1920 or 40 Craftsman and new carpet. But air conditioner is one that I added because I looked at an appraisal as a lender and I said, oh my God, I cannot believe an appraiser is giving an $8,000 markup in value for an air conditioner. I knew I could get one in there for less than $4,000, and that's an example of how you spend $4,000 on a house, but you can get real equity of 100% of your money back, which I got in the windows, 100% of your money back that I got in the air conditioner, and anything else like flooring, garbage disposals, condition of door and paint is just maintenance and protection, that your house, whether you live in it or whether it's an investment property, becomes a capital gains investment, no different than your 401k. Now, I have money in the 401k, but it's up and down like a Geiger counter. Real estate is more stable. Real estate is not the end-all answer. Fixing and flipping versus fixing and holding is not the answer. They're just different strategies. My wife and I are heavy on the real estate part of our portfolio. So when I took a 10-month sabbatical and on the side, I've been building the traditional investment side of my portfolio with stock in Churchill Mortgage, blue chip stock in other companies like the Magnificent Seven and Johnson Controls and all of that, and then also in IRAs, cash value, life insurance, and annuities. So the moral of this whole story is that you can say it 100 different ways, but only people with the courage and long-term thinking will hear it. Everything about real estate and non-traditional investments and the stock market and traditional investments is about your time in the market, not your timing of the market. Now, if you're really good, you can do both. But where I keep it simple with the Jay Garvin Show, let's just do one. So whether it's investing like I'm telling my 22-year-old son, put $500 a month into the market from the time that you're 22 to 28, and you'll never have to worry about the market again because it'll be time in the market and compounding interest works for you. The same thing with buying a house, whether it's Mike, whether it's Caleb, whether it's Owen, these 20-year-old men are buying houses. They don't have to worry about what the market does because in 30 years, that house is going to be double or triple what it's worth now. And just remember that you've heard it here first on the Jay Garvin Show. So go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them because that's all that matters in the end. You've been listening to the Jay Garvin Show.
KRDO News Radio does not confirm or deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff or management of KRDO News Radio.